Actually, I think, hey guys, welcome to the Listen to Bitch podcast with Brandon Lynette. I'm gonna skip my intro today because I want to jump right into today. Listen, you guys, it is my daughter's birthday. Okay. I had all six of my kids at the mall, plus a bonus kid. So I haven't been on social media outside of like schedule posts I made. And then I said something about Tylenol, because what the fuck did I just find out about Tylenol? Okay. So here's the thing. I come out here, I'm sitting in my office and I'm thinking about a topic. I'm like, I really don't know what to talk about today, right? That's the hardest thing for me. I didn't batch any content this weekend. Yesterday, Sunday, right? That was yesterday. I actually didn't feel good. Saturday was a long ass day. I bartended. I was at work for like 14 hours. Jukebox on for 12 hours straight. Okay. So my brain was fried. I love my people. My brain was fried. It was a really great day. I had fun, but I was exhausted. And for some reason, I didn't feel good yesterday. So I didn't get a lot of shit batched. Okay. By a lot, I mean nothing. Like I've done nothing, nothing for this week, but I'm still here, bitch. I'm still here. Today's podcast did show up live. So anyway, blah, blah, blah. I'm thinking of a topic and I'm talking to my friend Savannah. And actually, I'm going to be excited to bring her on my show soon. You guys have probably seen her in some of my comments if you follow me on Facebook. We do not agree on a lot of things, but we had a great conversation tonight. And I want her to share her perspective with you guys. She has, you know, she did some work overseas, and I just am excited to have her come talk about that. So we're going to get a date pinned in. And that's going to be a great conversation because I love to bring on anybody who has a different point of view. I've tried to have conversations, without the name calling, without resorting to the bullshit. But listen, bitch. Okay, while I'm talking to her, I'm just kind of scrolling just to see like if anything pops out at me. If I'm like, what do I want to talk about? Fucking everyone is talking about the rapture. Like people are panicking about the rapture, and I'm thinking, oh my God, I missed something big. I mean, literally everyone is acting on my feed. This is my wall. Everyone is acting like Jesus sent out a text, a group text with the date and time. And I kind of feel left out. But at the same time, I'm also like, you guys, if you're not living ready every single day, like there's not a TikTok prophecy that is going to save you. Okay. Because I don't know what you believe, but I really don't think that heaven runs on trending hashtags. I don't think that. Like, I don't think we need to wake up in fear. Like, we need to decide whether or not we actually believe what we say we believe, because either a death or a trumpet is coming, and both mean you're going to be standing face to face with Jesus. Okay. So if you're new here and you're not sure what I'm talking about, you're like, what are you talking about? Who's talking about a rapture? It could just be my feed. We all have different feeds, right? We all have different feeds. I get that. It's all whatever. Okay. My TikTok is going to be pimple popping and naked cats, right? What is yours? I don't know. Hi, Jordan, honey. Look, I could see comments. I can never see comments on here. So I'm just going to fill you guys in, okay? Because I know, I just don't know if you know, okay? The rapture is it's a Christian belief about a future event where Jesus will suddenly return and take, or like the Bible literally says, catch up. That's what they say. Believers. So both those who have died in Christ and those who are still alive up into the air to be with him. And I mean, the word rapture literally means like seize, snatch up, carry away. And that's the Greek translation. Okay. That's what we get. In Thessalonians, it says, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Okay. So what it says it's like an instantaneous event. Okay. Described as a happening, twinkle of an eye. It's the resurrection of the dead in Christ. So those who have already died as believers actually rise first. Then there is a transformation of the living, and that's believers who are alive will receive glorified immortal bodies. And then meeting Christ, all believers are caught up to meet Jesus in the air, and we get to stay with him forever. Okay. There are different views among Christians. There is a pre-tribulation rapture that some believe in, where believers are taken before a period of great tribulation on earth. Okay. So bizarre, though. Let me tell you the weird shit today. I'll tell you the weird shit today. I'm taking my son to school, and kind of like where we're close to his school. It's like it's kind of a dark road, and I just see two bikes, and like one bike is standing up and one is laying down, but like they're kind of in the road. And he's like, "Oh my God, is that a person?" I'm like, "Baby, that was two bikes. Though that was a big bike and a little bike, and it was so fucking weird." And then I'm driving, I drop him off, and I'm driving home. And on the left side of the road, I saw two bikes across the white line just ditch like the first bikes we saw. It was so bizarre. So maybe there's a little bit of pre-tribulation rapture, and none of us made it, just the people on the bikes. Because how bizarre was that? That or they got abducted by aliens, but who knows? So the mid-tribulation rapture, some people believe that you're taken midway through the tribulation, and then there's the post-tribulation, okay? Where believers are taken at the end of the tribulation, right before Christ's final return. So some Christians don't see this as like a separate event, but all part of the second coming. They call it the second coming, okay? And I guess like I get it. Like for a lot of Christians, the rapture is like a comfort, right? That's the hope. Like we're going to be with Jesus. We're not suffering anymore. And then it's also a wake-up call, 'cause live ready, right? If you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. So it's kind of like that balance of what are you going to do? So it's about being watchful and holy and having that urgency to tell someone about Jesus, right? So this, I mean, a lot of people are talking about this happening today or very soon. It's tomorrow. Maybe it's tomorrow, okay? And so I found out I had to go to Google, and I'm like, what the fuck is happening? What is happening? So the first thing that came up in Google, because I really don't know where people are coming from here, it was, I guess, a vision or a dream from a pastor, a South African pastor named Joshua something. I can't pronounce his name. He'd gone viral for claiming he received a dream because Christ told him that he would come to take my church September 23rd through the 24th. There's also a coincidence, you guys. Hi, guys. Hello. Hello, everybody. There is a coincidence with the Jewish feast calendar dates. Okay. I guess they're aligning it with Rosh something. I can't pronounce it. It starts with an H. And that's a Jewish holiday, so they're saying it's happening there. Just it's a feast of trumpets, so they're saying that, symbolically meaningful. Then it spread on social media. I guess there's a rapture talk. And once it started, it lit up. Hashtags are going crazy about this. And historically, what do we know about humans? Okay. We fucking love predictions and we love signs because we don't read the Bible to actually know what's coming. Like, so we expect the dumb shit on the side. Like, people look for the astronomical events, the dreams, the blood moons, and we try to align it with biblical prophecies. And when something lines up or can be made to line up, it's always very loose interpretation. People latch the fuck on. And I just want to say this is probably nothing new, okay? Nothing new. Because literally, I mean, I'm on my this is I'm going to finish out my second year of reading the Bible every day, just like the whole Bible in a year. And so I know there is a biblical warning against like date setting, okay? Because he says about the day, about the hour, nobody knows, not even the angels in heaven, not the Son, only the Father, okay? So trying to pin down a date is like kind of risky, and I feel like it contradicts what he taught us. So this is for people, I guess I have a lot of people on my page who are Christians and don't read the Bible. So I guess I'm going to fill you in a little bit on what I know or what I've read to be true. And I mean, you guys, there's this track record of failed predictions. So many past predictions, I mean, my husband and I talk about huge events that come, and I'm like, we think about with when Hitler came, I'm sure they thought that was the end, right? They were like, this is it. This is the world is ending. There's a lot of things I feel like they've just said it's coming. So far, none of that's accurate. Okay. Scholars, pastors, Christian leaders, all of these people, they point it all out to forecast the exact time it fails every single time. And the connections being made, it's all interpretive, right? Like one person's going to see this prophetic alignment, another is going to see coincidence. Okay. Dreams are very subjective. We know that. And scriptures cited, Absolutely, depending on that theological lens that you're looking through, those are going to support multiple views. We know people manipulate stuff to fit like their where they're at. We know that. And so when these predictions go viral, people feel that pressure to kind of believe or act, you know, and that leads to rash decisions. Like, nobody go quit your jobs tonight, okay? I mean, don't do anything crazy, don't make any lasts. I mean, I'm just saying, like, save yourself, because social media is forever, okay? So just like stay grounded, you know, even if you believe in this, even if you believe in this, like, it's good to be ready spiritually, but being obsessed with that date, it's going to distract you from like living in the moment, you know? And I really want you guys to check your sources. Like, where is this coming from? You know, I know that the hashtag is trending. I honestly don't even want to pull it up on my TikTok because I like my algorithm. I like seeing naked cats and I like pimple popping. Okay. So I'm not gonna fuck that up by looking for this. So I don't know. I don't know. I'm gonna see like really what the core takeoff was. Maybe you guys could share it. I've got Facebook comments here. I cannot see your guys' comments. I can't see your comments. And obviously, if you're listening to my podcast, bitch, I can't see your comments. Okay. But yeah, I'd be curious. Like, check your sources. Okay. Is this fear, or are we like having a moment of sensationalism right now? You know? And it stirs up anxiety, right? So let's talk about that. It's okay to have questions and it's okay to express doubt. Let's not hate on people. Okay, we're not going to hate on people for what they believe. We're not going to belittle people for having that kind of hope. Maybe God was never your cup of tea, then who, what do you care anyway? But we don't have to knock someone else's core values or beliefs, right? So we're going to be kind through this experience if people are really taking this serious. And y'all are kind of scaring me, okay? Kind of scaring me. Like, if you really know, if you're feeling that pumped up today, you know, live like it's real, like without the panic. If you believe that Christ could return at any time, that is just really a call to live in that integrity, to live in love, to live in holiness, not to make hasty, fear-driven decisions. Okay. This is one of the things that I kind of struggled with when it comes to faith and church and all these things, is that people really thrive on that fear-based bullshit, right? Like, I'm going to scare you into believing the world is going to end. Where are you going to go? Like, I really, and this is honestly how I approach the situation with my husband. A lot of you guys, I've talked about this if you're one of my followers from the beginning. When I met my husband, he was an atheist. He did not believe in God. He watched his family live, you know, on the Saturday law, where they lived one lifestyle 6 days a week. The seventh day a week, they put everything away. If grandparents came over, they put everything away. And he just never really saw who God was. It was like a lot of fear, right? Like a lot of fear. And so I remember it, when we were going to get married, his mom literally called me and she's like, "You cannot marry him. You can't marry him because you believe in Jesus and he doesn't believe in God." And I was so confused because I'm like, "You're a mother and you're telling someone who loves God not to marry your son." That's weird. So I knew what I knew, and I knew that God is love, and he's gonna show up and show out through me no matter how much I've messed up. Okay. Like, he's always been there, even when I've tried to deny it. And he showed up and showed out. And my husband literally prays for us every night now. Like, it's been a full turnaround. And it wasn't like I was telling him, "You have to be afraid of this." It's literally just that walk in love, right? So it's just step into the reality of this moment and be this person now. Be this person now. And here's the thing. I know someone told me the other day, and I cannot remember who, I had this conversation about someone saying that the rapture is not even real, that it's made up. Okay. So I feel like this is kind of probably a debate that's been going on for a very long time. I've never been a part of the debate because I know what the Bible says. And Paul writes about it a lot, and Paul is my favorite. Paul is my favorite character, favorite dude, okay? Because like, he was literally, it's, you guys have to research Paul because he's just a badass and he really stepped into his calling passionately. But he even wrote about it, like, the dead are gonna rise, you know, the dead in Christ are gonna rise first. And then the people that are alive are gonna be caught up. Like, he literally just explains exactly everything I was just explaining right now. And Paul is even saying, like, we shall not all sleep. Like, we're not all gonna sleep. There's a lot of people sleeping right now. That's what the dead are doing. They're sleeping. but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in the last trumpet, right? So that's that's like the sudden transformation of our bodies as believers. So there are biblical truths in this, and that debate comes up because, like, the event itself, I get that. Believers caught up to Christ is not made up, you know, and all of the timing things in here. I know rapture doesn't appear in translated Bibles, in the English Bibles, and that's why a lot of people think it's fabricated as well. But it is, it's different churches, different views. But my point of view, is it real biblically? Like, is this in the Bible? Yes, because the scripture clearly says believers will be caught up to meet Jesus. Okay. And I don't know. You could show me if you don't agree. Like, if you are someone, if you're watching this and you're like, the rapture's not even real, like, tell me about it. Teach me what you know. Okay. Because if we really, like, if we break it down, it's really physical catching up. Like, we're going to be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That to me doesn't sound like dying in the ordinary sense. Like, I feel like it's like instant, collective, visible, like supernatural. And the Greek word, I should just look up what the Greek word is. Let me go to Safari. Okay, so the Greek word is literally harpaze, or harpaze. That means to seize. It's seize suddenly, snatch away, not a gentle passing away. It's like, whoop, you're gone. Okay, dying, being with the Lord. That's to be absent from the body, present in the Lord. In that sense, yes, every believer who dies is caught up spiritually into Christ's presence. See? And some people do say it's about death, because he's talking about, he used sleep dying language. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. So a lot of people say it's more than death. I get it. Thessalonians, like, is a little more collective and dramatic. If you guys are not reading, I'm literally just reading Thessalonians now. Today's day one for 2 Thessalonians, but 1 Thessalonians 4, like, it's collective. It's dramatic to me. You know, the Lord descending, a trumpet blast, the dead raised first, the living snatched up. That's not how ordinary death works. You don't rise together with all the believers at once when you die. That sounds like a specific future event, if you're asking me, you know, or if you're here to listen to my opinion. But yeah, could caught up mean dying in a sense that death already brings you into Christ's presence? Yeah. But in Paul's actual teaching, I read it like it's something bigger, like climatic, one-time moment. Christ returns, all believers living and dead are united with him. You know? I don't know. I just know it's crazy that you guys are freaking out because someone on TikTok said a rapture is happening. Do not pack up your lives. We're not going on a surprise trip, okay? I want to be the calm in the chaos, because nobody's handing out a VIP pass to heaven for a Friday night panic. I want you guys to breathe a little bit. And what do we know, okay? When a believer dies, they are with Jesus. That's not fucking fairy dust theology. That's scripture. That's our comfort. Paul says being absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. So if your grandma slipped out this life last year, she's leaning on Jesus' shoulder. I believe that. That's real. That's home. So in a real personal way, dying is a version of caught up. Your soul goes to Jesus. You're safe. You're known. You're loved. And that truth matters. That truth matters when we're grieving. That truth matters when we're facing our own mortality. You know, it settles the heart. This is, you know, it's a, but this is a big, but this isn't the whole picture that Paul is painting out. He's describing something collective, something cosmic, a trumpet, the dead in Christ rising and the living being changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. That's, yeah, it's going to rearrange history. Not just the private sacred moment of someone's death. It sounds like a family reunion so big that probably this guy can't hold it. And that's why a lot of Christians expect that possible visible coming, not just individual deaths. This is what I know. and these two truths can live together. When you die as a believer, you are with Jesus. I feel like that's going to happen personally, immediately, and fully. You are there. Time is different for him, right? It's just different. And there's also that promised future event where he returns and performs the public dramatic gathering. And the Bible uses a lot of different things to talk about both. And I get some of that like can overlap, but don't build your life around a date, okay? If someone tells you a day, you guys, they're just guessing. God isn't going to tell anyone. If the angels can't know, if his son can't know, why do we think we know? Like, why are we even pretending? Why are we letting this trend right now? You know? I don't get that. Like, just live ready. That way you don't have to panic. And if you've just lost someone that you loved, right? Like, you're grieving. I feel like we're all grieving someone right now. So just hold that truth that your loved one is with Jesus. That is real and that's immediate. No meme or prophecy will cancel that. But if you're hoping for rescue from the pain, if you're like, Brandon, I really want this to happen tomorrow. Hope is good. Hope is really good. But hope that's turning into fear-driven choices is not. Okay? But have that hope because every single day that you wake up, you get that chance. You get that chance to make sure you're aligned to be able to walk with Jesus when it's said and done. Use that urgency as a fuel for good things. Everyone's panicking. So maybe you need to go say some hard shit to people. You know, I'm going to twist this around into some self-help speech, right? My kids roll their eyes because I always take everything and I turn it into a speech. I do. That's just what I do. But honestly, like, why don't you live like every day is going to be the rapture? Like, if you just wake up and you're like, man, tomorrow's the rapture, what am I going to do today? What am I going to do? Say the hard words you need to say to people. Set your boundaries. Do the things that you want to do. Heal the broken places. Love your people louder. Get your potential out there. Like, be who you're going to be, fearless. Like, if you knew you were going to die tomorrow, there would be no regrets. You would not have any problem waking up and talking to Jesus for all of your actions today, for all of that. Today, for everything you did, like ask yourself every single night, did I step into my potential? Did I show up as the person I'm meant to be in my power, the way God and I agreed? Did I do that? Did I tell people about Jesus? Did I do the things? Get your spiritual life straight. Not to escape, but because life matters now, because this matters now, because you don't know. What tomorrows you get. You don't get to know. There's no set date on this. If Jesus showed up tomorrow, that would be the most glorious thing. I half want that. I half want that because I know he has so much planned for me. Like I feel that potential and I've been growing into that so great lately. So I want to do this. I want the time to really see if I can do what was expected of me, what I've been called to do. I want to know that I stepped up and he's going to be like, girl, you did it. All the hesitation, all the self-doubt, all the starting and stopping, all the name calling, all the hate, you did it. Look, I want to be with him too. I do want that. But also, I'm going to be glad that every day I get to keep breathing, I get a chance to step into my potential. That's huge. So let's all start behaving like people who know what eternity means. Loving fiercely, forgiving quickly, speaking honestly, living with that visible courage. Don't let the fear of tomorrow rob this the sacred work of today. What did you do to step into your potential today? Who did you tell about Jesus? I don't know. I don't know about this rapture shit, but I'm saying get your shit together. Get your house in order. And whether caught up means the personal comfort of death or the trumpet blast of like this big cosmic reunion, like the same requirement stands, okay? Wake up. Stop performing for the pats on the back. Stop waiting for permission to live brave. Speak your truth. Live your truth. Be who you're meant to be. Your mess is someone's message. You're a walking testimony, powerful. Stop keeping that to yourself. That's a message to my haters too, because if you don't step up, there's going to be a lot more little Brandons running around. So can't drown all of us out. You may as well get your own fucking voice. Okay. If Christ is coming, be found loving. And if he's not coming today, be found loving anyway. Either way, I mean, love wins, right? And that's like a future none of us have to guess about. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? All right, babies. Speaking of, I have a Bible study with a badass to do, so I'm going to get off of here. Thank you for listening to the Listen Bitch podcast. Make sure you guys check my show notes, okay? I've got a lot of cool things in there if you want to support the cause. First of all, share the show. You can share the live. You can share the live. Oh, you can't share the live. And on my podcast, you guys can share this episode. So make sure you share this episode. Get it out there. Tag your friends. Text your friends. Whatever. It's super easy. You just hit two buttons. Share, pick your contact, boom, you're done. And then leave a review. Written reviews are going to be the best for me. And then obviously Listen Bitch donations is going to help me keep the lights on. And you guys, I just told my husband, listen, if you could see, only Facebook is, I think Facebook is the only view. Literally my microphone is on the microphone box it came in. The fuck? Like, who has a setup like this? And I'm watching a pod where my husband and I are watching a show this morning, this podcast, and he's got this real slick mic setup where it just moves and you can move it around so I can like move. I don't have to sit still next to my mic because I can move the mic wherever I want. Like, what if I just want to recline back in my chair? I can't do that because it fucks up my audio on the podcast. But if I had a microphone that I could just pull. So I'm saying, Listen Bitch donations, okay? Help a girl out. All right. I'm not asking you to keep the show alive, okay? My husband does that and I love him for that. Thank you, honey. But I am asking, like, at least help me upgrade some equipment. Maybe I have one to donate. Does anybody have a mic they could donate to Listen Bitch? Because I could use it. But anyway, listen, I love you guys. I love you guys. Okay. And maybe we go to heaven together tomorrow and maybe we don't. But I feel like every day we should live like it's a possibility. Okay. How would that change your life every night if you ask yourself? If the world ended tomorrow, do I feel good about how I showed up? Do I? And I will, because I'm about to do the Bible study with a badass. If you're on Facebook, I'll be in the Bible study for a badass group. And I love you guys.